loving kindness. Today we're looking at the omnipotence of God. He's all being all powerful. So I titled the sermon, I Can Do Anything. When I said that this morning when Ron and I came up front before and had a time of prayer, a couple of the ladies started singing the song, I Can Do Anything You Can Do, only better, from an old musical. But it is not a humorous thing for God to say, I can do anything. It is a truthful thing when God can do anything. There are no limits on His power. Nothing restricts His ability to do His will. When we think of power as Americans, we think of massive electric power plants. My wife and I used to live in Libertyville. Near there is the Zion Atomic Energy Plant, which produces enormous amounts of electricity. Radiating out from there all across Lake County are these high towers carrying high voltage power lines distributing the power throughout the region. One of the most incredible displays of power to occur in our lifetime happened on May 18th of 1984, near where my son lives, in the state of Washington, in the Cascade Mountain Range, a mountain in Mount St. Helens, which once was a volcano, blew apart. You may remember seeing the videos of it. There are lots of them on YouTube, very fascinating videos. In a moment of time, this huge mountain, the top of it blew off, 1,300 feet, gone instantly, creating a plume of ash and steam that rose so high in the sky that the FAA had to divert airplanes around the plume because the danger of the ash getting in the engines and destroying the engines of the plane, causing catastrophic crashes. Think of what it would take to remove 1,300 feet of a mountain. Around here, actions like that seem common because we all know that this part of Illinois produces a huge amount of rock. Quarries seem to be everywhere. It's a very holy place. Not spiritually holy, but physically holy. Deep quarries all over. Sometimes when we drive by, I'm able to turn my head and look out the window and see the giant machines that are used to quarry the rock and carry it up to the crushers that break it into gravel for road construction and building construction in Chicago and elsewhere. Those machines are very impressive. If you have little boys around your house or grandkids like we do, my grandson is fascinated by big trucks, all kinds of trucks. So his parents always look for when there's any kind of truck event going on. And they take little Eli out to the truck event and often will video some of it and send it to us as grandparents. And we watch him. He gets very excited, touching the huge wheels of some of these gigantic machines. He likes them so much. One of my favorite videos was when he was walking in a park up a hill and he started walking backwards down the hill. And he turns and goes, beep, 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 beep. Oh, it's a truck backing up. He likes them so much he's identifying with trucks in his person. That's kind of silly. It's what a child would do. But we have no machine that could remove 1,300 feet of a mountain in a moment of time. It's been calculated that the amount of energy released in the explosion of Mount St. Helens was equivalent to the amount of energy of 500 atomic bombs the size of the one that blew up Hiroshima in Japan near the end of World War II. And yet that amount of power is small compared to another source of power we see every day, the sun in the sky. As you probably know, is a churning ball of fire and constantly erupting, releasing huge waves of power. When I was a young boy, one of my favorite things was to camp out on Blue Mountain near our little village and watch the northern lights, which are caused when radiation from the sun, from a solar flare, is caught in the Earth's magnetic field, and it makes that glow we call the northern lights. Fantastic. We couldn't do anything like that. Downtown Chicago is pretty impressive at night, but it's nothing like the northern lights. As much power is released by the sun and sunspots is dwarfed by other things that occur in the universe. In March 5th of 1979, astronomers saw a burst of radiation from far away in the universe. Then 1/10 of a second emitted as much energy as the sun does in 3,000 years. In 1/10 of a second, the amount of energy the sun puts out in 3,000 years. What was it, they all said? It was power. Power at a level that we can't comprehend. God's power is beyond our comprehension also. There are no limits to God's power, no restrictions on God's power.
Amen.
No boundaries. No power source like coal or hydrogen that can be exhausted. God's power is the exercise of His will to accomplish His will. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said, "My message and preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the power of God's power, so that your faith may not rest on wisdom, but rest on God's power." Our faith is not on a clever and well put together religious system, but our faith resides on God's power to actually rescue us. Some of us have great stains in our past, which we're very ashamed of. How could anyone forgive such sins? God can, because of His power, manifested through Christ when He died on the cross in our place.
Praise God.
God's power is the basis of our salvation. It also preserves us. It saves us and preserves us. In John chapter 10, we read, "Then came the feast of dedication in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple, walking in Solomon's colonnade, which was a part of the temple. The Jews gathered around Him and said, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, the Christ, tell us plainly.' Jesus answered, 'I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in My Father's name speak for Me. You do not believe because you are not My sheep,' He continued. Then He said, 'My sheep listen to My voice. I know them, and they know Me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of My hand.'" I like that image. No one can snatch them out of My hand. Jesus holds on to us as a shepherd holds on to a small sheep, a little lamb that a hungry wolf may want to snatch and devour, that some thief may want to steal to enrich his flock or to get his family a tender dinner. But Jesus says, "I hold my sheep in my hand. He also says that the Father holds us in his hand, and no one can snatch us out of his hand. A good illustration of that is take something like the top of a pen, like a little stick pen, those little caps they have, and put it in your hand and ask a child to take it out of your hand. They can't, no matter how small you might be. You can hold that tighter than a child could ever pry it up, your hand open. Then again, your husband or wife wrap their hands around yours, like the Father's hand wrapped around the Son's hand. Then that little pen cap would be so secured that no one could ever pry it loose. Even a strong man could not. Even the devil can't pry us out of the Father's hand.
Amen.
We are safe. We are secure because God's power protects us. It preserves us. Jesus says he holds us in his hand. So if you have worries about what will happen to me, what happens when I die, what will happen if, that all those ifs be pushed aside by the knowledge that Jesus has said he's holding you in his hand. And his power is so great that no one could snatch you out of his hand. You're also being held in the Father's hand, and no one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. Sometimes people think the devil can do all kinds of amazing things, and he can't even snatch us out of it. Remember the story of Job, a righteous man? The devil challenges God that he only does what is right because you blessed him. Give him over to me for a time and watch what happens. The implication is he will no longer worship you. The implication is, God, you're like an athletic star or a movie star. You have to buy your friends. No one really loves you and worships you. Take away the blessings and watch what happens. And read the story of the book of Job. He does not turn away from God. He continues to worship God. Yea, though he slay me, I will worship him, Job. Job refuses to turn his back on God because he knew that he was secure in the presence of God. God's power preserves us, and we are safe in his hands. So learn the lesson of Job. If you have fears, you are certainly safe in his hands. No one can snatch you out of his hands. Even if you go through the trials that Job went through, you will be as safe as Job was safe and secure in his hands. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, the Apostle Peter said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and into an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. For you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the upcoming time of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. We are safe, we are protected, we are secure because God's power is a shield around us." I like to think of that like my favorite genre of movies, science fiction movies. There's always some bad alien attacking the USS Enterprise. And Captain Kirk always says the famous words, "Shields up!" And whatever these mysterious shields are, then Mr. Spock flicks a switch and suddenly surround the spaceship. They're protected from all kinds of alien weapons, photon torpedoes and death rays and so forth. But God puts a shield around us, Peter says, even more powerful than the Enterprise's shields. They can protect us from anything. There is nothing that can come our way that God's power does not protect us from. So if you feel that if you're being attacked without mercy, just remember God's put a shield around you. It may be good to take this verse from Peter, write it out on a 3x5 and tape it to the mirror in the bathroom or on your desk if it's at work where you feel this threat. And just remember, God said shields up, and his shields are the best in the universe, and they can never be broken through. You are safe because you are protected by him, by his great power. Something good to do this afternoon, as you know, if you've heard me preach before, I like to give something for you on Sunday afternoon as a day dedicated to resting from our work, but given to worship of God. Open your Old Testament in the book of Exodus. God's people were going through a series of very difficult circumstances when they were delivered from slavery in Egypt. You know the story if you've seen the movies about how Israel was delivered from enslavement, the crossing of the Red Sea and so forth. The people of Israel are going to go through a series of difficulties. So what God wants them to do is understand his power. In Exodus 15, verses 1 through 18, read that and make a note in your notes. Particularly pay attention to verses 6, 16, and the vivid picture in verse 10. An image he wanted to implant in their minds that they would have something to think about. Much like when I think about God, I think about his attributes. It always makes me smile, knowing that I will be in his presence one day. The presence of one who is has eternal loving kindness and unlimited loving kindness towards me, as Pastor Paul told us about a few weeks ago. One whose power will bring me to that place, because nothing can thwart his will. So in Israel, they would sing a song to the Lord. Moses said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and rider is hurled into the sea. Pharaoh's army chased the Israelites as they left Egypt to go to the promised land to worship God. And his army was destroyed. They were hurled into the sea. I like the movie, which always show the waters up in a straight wall. Israel walks across on dry land. And interesting, the text says, God breathed and the waters were parted. He had given Pharaoh many examples of his power and his will for the Israelites to be released to come worship him. All the plagues that came upon Egypt, each one of them was a demonstration that God was more powerful than the gods of Egypt. They're direct challenges to the gods of Egypt. Pharaoh should have learned the lesson. And he didn't. He sent his army after the Israelites. And God says, well, I told you this over and over again, that I want them to come to me to worship me. I showed you my power to bring that to pass. And you can hear the exasperation in God's voice as he breathes out and the waters are parted. It's a sigh of exasperation in Pharaoh's hardened heart. He just will not listen. So God goes, and the waters are parted. Pharaoh sends his army, all those expensive Abrams A1 M1 chariots, into the chase after the Israelites. And they're suddenly overwhelmed by the water, which then flows back into the seabed. And he loses billions of dollars of war machines because of his arrogance and unwillingness to submit to the power of God. Israel was to remember that picture, that lesson. Parents were to tell their children and grandchildren. I remember turning around and seeing chariots floating in the water, and Egyptians slapping the water, trying to swim with all their armor on, as they drowned in the water. Because Pharaoh would not submit to God's will and challenge God's power, saying that he was more powerful than God was. Now, my grandson, learn the lesson. We as parents and grandparents have a duty to tell to our children the stories of God's power of deliverance on our behalf over the years.
Praise God.
When I was on crusade staff with my wife and I at the University of Maryland, we were going to have a well-known speaker named Josh McDowell. And an administrator tried to stop us from getting use of a campus facility. The students had gone in requesting filling out the right forms, and he said, "Over my dead body." 2 weeks later, the guy was in the hospital, ICU, with a nearly fatal heart attack. We prayed for him as students that he would live in spite of the heart attack. And the students told each other, "Remember when he challenged God and said, 'Over my dead body'? And God said to him, 'If that's the way you want it.'" And God delivered him from death. I hope the man learned that lesson and told the story to his children and grandchildren. Do not put yourself in the way of God. Do not challenge him. His power is greater than your power. Nothing can stop God's will being done. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." If you know what God's will is for you, then continue to wait upon his power to make the way straight and the path clear for you to do his will, and to give you the strength of whatever you need to do his will. For he does. His power has no limits, as we know. So reread that story in Exodus chapter 15. We read the story when God took the horse and rider and threw them down into the sea. When he breathed out of his nostrils and the waters piled up. Imagine what would have happened if he had blown like we would blow out candles. The water would have been spread out over the whole Sinai Desert. It was just the breath through his nostrils, his aspiration. "Oh, Pharaoh, what are you going to learn? What's it going to take for you to learn, Pharaoh?" I hope we did learn and come to worship the one true God. God's power can deliver us from futility. Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. No matter what has happened or might happen, God has the power to work it together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Those who love him speaks about your heart attitude. Is your attitude a desire to love, serve, and obey God? Called according to his purpose speaks about what are you doing? Are you doing what you know is His will? If you are, His power will be displayed so that it will work for the good. No matter how difficult it may or hopeless it may seem to you, your faith is in His power. And in reliance on His Word, the promises and commands of the Bible, God's Word, rely upon them.
Yes.
Sometimes something like this seems too hard to believe. Another thing to do this afternoon, Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, Jesus ascends the sacred mountain and the transfiguration occurs. Remember, He was seen walking with Moses and Elijah. He comes down from the mountain, and His disciples are with some of the people. And there's a big stir amongst everybody. Something's going on, and the disciples seem very confused and not sure at all what to do. It turns out a man had come hearing that Jesus, who healed all diseases, was traveling through the area with His disciples. He came with his son, possessed of a demon. And the demon tried to kill his son, often causing him to foam at the mouth and fall down, something like an epileptic fit, it seems. And he would roll into the fire or into the water to drown him or burn him. The father, like any father, had done anything he could and everything everyone suggested for years to get his son better again. He sees Jesus and Jesus says, "What's the problem?" And the father tells him, "This is my son. My son. He's possessed by a demon and it tries to kill him. He foams at the mouth and falls down, rolling him, sometimes into the stream to drown him, sometimes into the fire to burn him to death. If you can, take mercy on us and heal us." Heal him. Then Jesus turns to the Father and He says, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." And the Father says something. You have to read it as hear the Father's emotion. He says, "I do believe. Help me in my unbelief." Now look at me. I'll show you what he was saying by that apparent contradiction. He's saying, "I do believe with my mind that you are the Messiah, and as the Son of God, you have the power to heal even my son, who no one else has been able to help. Although I've tried everyone, every doctor, every faith healer, every rabbi, every religious event, nothing's ever helped. I do believe. Help me in my unbelief." And that now pointed his heart. "My experience says, get ready to get disappointed another time. Yes, this guy's a great preacher, but your son seems to be a special case. Why do you think it's going to be different this time, Dad?" So he believes, but he is filled with unbelief. Jesus has said, the boy will be healed if he believes. All things are possible to him who believes. The Father gives testimony to his faith and his unbelief at the same time. The very next verse, what happens? The son is healed. I love that story because it tells me that when I'm desperately trying to trust in God, but my experience is unbelief, even though my mind is faith, because I see the command that I'm trying to obey, I see the promise that I'm looking for God to fulfill. My mind believes, but my experience, my heart, is filled with unbelief. Many times I pray that Father's prayer, especially when our adopted daughter was having many of the health problems that came from the genetic condition she inherited from her birth mother. Especially when the time the doctor called us up, as my wife and I were discussing earlier this week, and said the MRI revealed precancerous brain tumors in your daughter's head. well, what are we going to do? Michelle called me at school. They came and got me out of class, and I immediately called her, and she's sitting in the closet in our bedroom crying. My daughter's got cancerous brain tumors. What can we do? I had a student who was a leading surgeon in the Army for years. I talked to him. I said, Dr. Jeff, what can be done? And he said, normally in pediatric surgery, nothing in the brain like that. Let me work on this. And he came back to me a week later, and Sean, he said, there is a technique that was developed in the 1800s that I've researched, but it's not currently used, but it would give some hope. It was taking needles and putting them through the skull to the site of the tumors and injecting liquid nitrogen through the hollow needles to freeze the tumor in sight. He said it would be very risky, but it's the only thing that can target something as small as what you've got. It turned out what you ever called UBOs, unidentified bright objects. Children with neurofibromatosis or NF often have these UBOs. Later, when we asked the specialist in NF, hasn't any child died who had those UBOs on an MRI where they could do an autopsy and see what it was? He said, yes, there's never anything there. They're not precancerous brain tumors because these children don't end up with brain cancer. They're just unidentified bright spots on the MRI. We don't know why. We don't know what. So we didn't know. We just went back every year for another MRI to see if they were moving or growing. And in God's power, that was the end of it for Catherine. And my sadness, I'm sorry, one of her children, our granddaughter, Marshall, has had tumors on her optic nerve, which is causing blindness. And there's been very little, even the specialists at Lurie Children's have been able to do to help with that. Once again, we are back to the only hope for my granddaughter is God's power manifest in a unique way, healing. So Michelle and I keep praying for God's power to be manifest in her body, that this young girl might not lose her sight. Our first grandchild, the one we love as you only love the first grandchild. Sorry, Michelle. She told me not to tell a personal story. And I thank my friend Art, who prays faithfully for Marshall. We went over to his house the last time she visited us. She was so struck that this man she'd never met, our grandchildren are biracial, and she's very dark complexion. A white man, an older white man, all the things she's told is the problem with society. He prays for her. He cares about her, clearly. She saw that when she met him, and he cared for her. And she heard, he prays for me. And that struck her deeply. My prayer is that that witness from my friend will tell my granddaughter, you need to trust in God like he does. I think that might be the case, because that would be consistent with how God works. So we have God's power. I do believe. Help me in my unbelief. Don't be afraid to pray the prayer with the expectation that God will do as he did for this father. He will answer the prayer. All things are possible to him who believes. Paul speaks of the power of God when he wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 1, 18 through 21. His prayer was, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand, his right hand in the heavenly realms, above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present, but in the time, but in the one to come. So that would be good to make your prayer. Take Paul's prayer and rewrite it in the first person for myself. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22, 18 through 21. Here's one way you could, it could be written as a personal prayer. Paul concludes Romans chapter 3, 20 through 21 with a doxology. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than you ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. God can do more than you can imagine according to his power, which has no limits. How much power is needed to answer the prayer you have? God's power is greater than what is needed, and he can do that. And place your faith in him and in his power. We are told to do in the scriptures. So we worship a God who is omnipotent, all-powerful. He can do anything. And we pray to a God who's omnipotent. He's also all-wise and present, omnipresent. He's omniscient. He has all knowledge. He knows what solution is the good and best solution. This afternoon, I encourage you to take time, take your worries and cast them upon the all-powerful God. And phrase your prayers as a statement of trust in his power to deliver. Now may I pray for you as we. Father God, we acknowledge that you are all powerful and we are but weak creatures. We stand in awe at sites of power like Mount St. Helens or the solar sunspots that cause so much disruption to our electric power grid and create such beauty as the Northern Lights. We know that your power is greater than any threat to us. It is in your power that we trust and hope and await deliverance. For you are the great God, a God of holiness, of truth, of integrity, of purity. Manifest yourself in answering our prayers that we may give testimony to others of the power of you, the God we worship this day. For we pray in Christ's name.